It's time to go full speed ahead with Michael Kelly. Each week, we take you inside all the big sports stories at USF from the perspective of the man who oversees the program, Vice President of Athletics, Michael Kelly. With today's show, here's your host, Derek Sharp.
It's been a few weeks. We're sorry about that. We both have good reasons. Michael was away, 2 weeks ago, and then I was on vacation for the last time, I promise. Because
we have a game from now till Christmas, so I assume you will be around.
Yes. Yes, I was in New York on the day that we would normally take the show on a Monday, and I can say that I got the welcome back from the humidity of Florida right when we came back. But listen, it's us. It means the season's here. It means we're ready to go.
Embrace it.
Of course. Sorry. I have embraced it. Yeah. And we were up in New York, and I was like, well, there's got to be a downside to being up here because it's perfect weather. And they said, yeah, it rains more here than anywhere else.
Well, like Bob Marley said, you got to feel, do you feel the rain or you just get wet, right? So you got to feel the rain.
Yeah. Well, felt plenty of it, trust me. All right. So since we last left, it was the great sit down with Mr. Warsaw, Coach Warsaw. And that was just a great sign of so many things that have been happening during this quote unquote off season here at USF Athletics. And now we're in to the actual season before we get to football and basketball and what's coming up with a major soccer match coming up this Thursday. And you've been able to see a couple of pretty cool scrimmages as well. Let's talk about one thing that happened after we signed off, and that is the next Hall of Fame class at USF Athletics. And when I look at who's on there, I'm thinking great choices, but man, that has just got to be a difficult decision. Although some of them, quote-unquote, seem easy, there are so many options.
There is, and that's what I want people to realize. Sometimes, we get a lot of great nominations for it. That's what it's all about. It's great. There's so many great bulls to salute and honor and take a look at, and the committee that we have assembled for that certainly looks deeply into that, and then the people that ultimately, the selection committee that actually votes on them, which is mostly people outside of the athletic department, quite frankly, that we have a special committee for that, and yeah, it's hard for them. It's it reminds me of the being in the room with the selection committee folks for the CFP. I never voted for that, but being around them and providing them the same type of data and information, and man, but what a great class, as you said, to have a legend like Eddie Cartieri that just so many conference championships. We go back and look and see how many times we won the conference in baseball throughout his tenure, and so many great players, and to have Koepka be the first golfer, men's golfer, with all the great things that we've had happen there, to him to get in and all the success that he had to kind of help really get this train going with so many great consecutive successes, successful years for our men's golf program. And man, when you start looking at Jeff Cunningham's statistics, not only here, but as he went on for his professional career, it's just staggering. There's players here on our team now that have told me, man, Jeff Cunningham, I remember watching as a little kid, you know, that's why I'm here now. You know, it's just
that's no small thing.
And then you talk about those three, and then certainly last but not least, you get someone who's more passionate about the Bulls or played with more swagger than Matt Grothy. And when I had a chance to call all of them, and you'll see some reactions and videos on that, I'll certainly never forget Matt. Matt was very, very excited, very proud, and all of them were, and they should be. So, yeah, we're going to have a chance in the fall to salute them with an event here on campus like we always do, and certainly at a game as well. So stay tuned for more details on that. But, man, what a great class.
You know, it's funny. Next question was going to be some of the reactions. Did you call them? Obviously, you just said you did, but I can imagine that some of what Matt had to say has to be edited out for.
Well, you'd be correct. It made me laugh right away. I said, hey, Matt, it's an honor to tell
then
you.
And I know what he said.
he was very excited.
That's tremendous. And again, just for people that, you know, haven't been tuned in to Bull Speed Ahead as many years as they need to, how often and how many per class are we looking at generally for the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, so we went through a little gap of time prior to my coming where we had started it back in the early 2000s, and then it had stopped for a couple of years prior to my arrival, and then we just thought it was really important to bring back. There's so much history, so many great people to honor, and it's been a big deal, so we've brought it back now every year since I've been here. So we do it every year. The selection usually takes place in the early summer, and then the induction always takes place sometime in the fall. And this year we've got four, somewhat either three or four. We've kind of just, to your point, we've got so many great people to salute. We kind of increased it from three to four
makes
this
it easier.
Year.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And make it keep going. But it's a great, great class. And, you know, hey, God love Eddie Cartieri. I mean, it's hard to set up those meetings. So we're trying to set up, why are you having this either teams meeting or in-person meeting with the athletic director? And maybe we haven't talked that much. So my staff got Eddie to come here and say, hey, can you please come? Michael wants to talk to you about how we can, you know, get the baseball program going again and, you know, some engagement with alums. And, hey, he came prepared. He had a notebook full. He was ready to go. But
wow.
I had to interrupt the meeting with a little – the real reason you're here, Eddie, is to –
That's awesome.
This is all really good, and we're going to still talk about that. But mainly we want to salute you and honor you, so congratulations.
So that was the way you hoodwinked him into being announcing for the next Hall of Fame. That is just incredible. You know, yeah, we mentioned Andrew Warsaw the last time we did a show, and don't worry, I'm not going to give any trade secrets, but we had a kind of an all-staff meeting last week that I was able to listen into. And just one part of that show I wanted to point out that sort of jumped out at me and sort of popped into my head, and I know you covered everything with him, just the fact that with all that's going on with NIL, the fact that South Florida now has a whole staff that is devoted to that so that the coaches don't have to worry about it, you know, because I was thinking about that part of it. The head coaches shouldn't have to worry about that. They should worry about the team, not the other side. Now you've got that covered.
Yeah, I think it's a very progressive approach to it. I think we're a leader in the industry as to being amongst the leaders as to how to approach this from a staffing standpoint. Proactive, and that to have a whole NIL / revenue generation or revenue sharing type of unit is appropriate and what we think is necessary to move forward. So we'll have four people, including Andrew, focused on it full time, in addition to the folks that all of us are focusing on it in some capacity. But these folks are completely dedicated to that effort. And it's a unique year, as we talked about. You're talking this year about current NIL rules and policies and how that activates with the likelihood of this time next year when there's a change in potential revenue sharing and potential of you know, the increase of scholarships that'll likely be allowed if we can, when we provide them. So it's a whole new world. It's basically Andrew's unit basically looking at each prospect and current student athlete to be you know, what's the compensation package that's available to them, and where can it come from, and what involvement can we have in it. And it's right now still a little bit of in flux,
right?
But we needed to be prepared because we think as it will hit next year, we needed to be a step ahead of. And another thing you had mentioned, you made me think about that, and I hadn't done that before. It's like, you know, earlier in my career, it was I came up mostly in events and operations, and it was all about what you just said. Hey, I remember Ron Wellman, the athletic director I had at Wake Forest when I had that job, but for our facilities and operations, he said, hey, Michael, your job is to worry about everything about their events, their practice, so they don't have to worry about that. And so jump ahead, you know, 25, 30 years, what you just said is it does register, because that is, it's like we had to be progressive enough now to look at, hey, that's the next chapter of what we need to now prepare for so our coaches don't have to worry about it. So, yeah, it's just the next evolution. And as we said, we are mainly here focused. It's a common plea around here that we are focusing on making a model athletic department for modern times. And this is that whole NIL unit is a prime example of that.
And I'm glad you used that phrase, because it really is a big focus and something that elevates USF above so many schools. Now, sticking with football, camp has begun since we last did this show. Also, it's elevated to the point of the first scrimmage, which, you know, it's not on the air, it's not on the radio, it's not on TV, but certain people get to sneak in there, and you were one of them. So your thoughts on the camp so far? Year two under Alex Golish. I love what he had to say about how he sort of, you know, got to relook at his approach and everything, and very humbly taking advice and ready to roll for this season. And then, you know, maybe if there's a couple of highlights you want to share. That's fine.
Well, I think just the overall attention to detail that Coach Golish and his staff put on this are extraordinary. You can just tell the comfort and the confidence that the staff has, and that as a result the players have as they approach it. Just very impressed to watch everything that they do. And the one scrimmage that we did have that was open was to a handful of donors in our green and gold series, and I think they're impressed. And the common thing that came up when I was able to talk to everyone that attended that is, wow. And the credit probably goes to Gio in this case, as Coach Golish has mentioned before. It's like they and we are looking much bigger, faster, stronger in terms of looking the part of a champion. And we needed to grow, and we needed to get stronger and better in all those aspects. And, man, time will tell in the results, but right now it sure does look that way, and that's the first step forward.
Bigger, faster, stronger is almost like a cliche, but when you say it, for this team, even talking to the individuals, when I had a chance to interview mm-hmm. them around their photo shoots, it was noticeable, and I think that's no small thing, because it's one of the many things that Alex sort of inherited last year, and now with Coach Gio, which I think it's great that he gets all the love, because he should. You could see it, actually.
You know, Coach says a lot of times, you know, I think we all listen to him, and obviously he talks about be who you say you are. That means reinforcing those daily habits all the time, whatever you say you're going to be. But I also love when he says that you have to earn the right to be confident. And the fact that you kind of see the work that you put in your nutrition, the work they put in their conditioning, they have to do that all off season to be able to be confident on August 31st and beyond. You know, so that's all part of the process he speaks about, and looks very much like they're following it.
It's an incredible amount of individuals I've been able to speak to, not just one-on-one, but with the assembled press that have harbored on that point. Byron Brown, Michael Williams, some of the guys that are new to the program, Teron Keith, running back, comes to mind about how that is just ingrained in what they've got going on. As we're taping this on a Monday, got to mention the AP Top 25 coming out, because Alabama number 5, Miami number 19, and the two teams from the conference, hopefully soon to be more, that are receiving votes are Memphis and Tulane. Those happen to be four of the first six games on the Bulls' schedule, right. So it just lines up for a pretty fun season.
Who made that schedule? I don't know. What were they thinking? No, it sets up great, honestly. It tests us early. It gives us some really great games. We're so excited to play Alabama and Miami. And then, you know, we know every game in the conference is so, so meaningful, and we just happen to have two of the front runners that we play right off the bat. So we'll know quickly, and if we can seize two victories or at least get one of those for sure, that puts us in a really good position to challenge for this conference, and that's all we've been talking about.
And we can't even say that the Bulls aren't getting that national recognition anymore because of the fact these watch lists, these are some major, major yeah. awards with Byron, with Sean, with Naquan, et cetera. It's right there. I mean, people are catching on.
Yeah, when you see double-digit people in all conference kind of projections and you see that many people on watch list, I think that's that just kind of speaks volumes to the way your program's on the right trajectory.
All right, so other things. You said you got to attend with some of the donors the scrimmage for football. Also, you got to attend a women's soccer match. We're going to get into them just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I think I was an athletic director exemption for that one. That was a kind of a closed
scrimmage. Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
They let me into that one, which is cool. I enjoyed that.
When I asked, and I kind of got a little bit of a nice cold shoulder, I was fine with it, especially since the men had their actual match that I was broadcasting that night. But I realized that no one was really allowed into this match. But it was great to see Chris Brown and the USF Bulls against the Tampa Bay Sun FC and Denise Schulte Brown. So you got to see a little bit of the outgoing and the incoming.
Yeah, it was fun to watch, and I felt that our squad really measured up nicely. I mean, it was a very competitive match for my eyes, and the Sun had scored a little bit early, and we had a PK to try to tie it up that didn't go our way. But it was a very good match, great test for us to have played Florida and then now a professional team. So, you know, that way, as I know I've heard in some of the interviews you've had with the players, that makes it, again, that builds confidence too when you play against some of the very, very best. And we certainly did that, and now we get ready for a huge home opener that I hope everybody comes out for. There's no reason not to be at Corbett Stadium on Thursday night for this great, great home opener. We've got the number one team in the country and the defending national champions coming here to play our women, and that's a huge, huge deal. I don't know. I haven't checked the facts. You probably did. I don't know if we've ever hosted the number one team here at Corbett Stadium before.
Certainly no sport has hosted the number one team, the returning national champion, on the opener. That is a given.
Huge.
One thing I saw, I saw the article that Joey Johnston wrote on GoUSFBulls.com today, and I was actually, it was good that he answered the question. The slogan for both the Sun and USF is "Raise the Standard." Probably no coincidence that they shared it.
Yeah.
And when you hear it and it's acknowledged by Chris, like, it's not a slight on the standard that was here, because it is a great standard, but they are like shooting higher, right?
Right. And, we've had a team that's won many, many conference championships in our women's soccer program and made it all the way to the Sweet 16 that you and I were there for a couple of years ago. And when Chris and I talked during the interview process, it was that. It's like, hey, we of course need to try to maintain that conference champion kind of standard, but we're at a national level where we want to be able to, you know, go all the way to that College Cup, and that's our goal, and that's certainly within our reach, and so no reason not to shoot for it.
College Cup, the Final Four, and they've got a transfer from UVA that has played in the Final Four, so that's a nice little step. Again, Thursday against Florida State, 7 o'clock. Don't show up at 6:45. If you're coming to this game, make sure you come and get there early. It is going to be fantastic. Speaking of big-time competition, again, since we last did a show, we talked about South Carolina being on the women's basketball schedule, and we said, hey, if you swing for the fences for the next non-conference opponent, true road opponent, you'll probably, you know, get a home run. And if you were thinking UConn, you were right, and that's not it. It's all out there. Tell people about what's coming.
Yeah, so, I mean, as you know, we have a home-and-home with South Carolina, so that's going to be really awesome to go to their place again this year, and then they'll come to us next year. Same thing with UConn. We're going out there, but they're going to come here next year. So just think for next year, we're going to have both the Gamecocks and the Huskies coming here to the Yuengling Center to play Jose's squad. So that's very, very exciting. But this year, obviously, still a great non-conference lead overall at home, too, and we're going to host both Vanderbilt and Duke, who both, you know, played in the NCAA tournament. Obviously, great, great brand. So I believe something happened with an event we were going to play in that we lost some games, and Jose and Lee Butler kind of were able to find a way to get Duke to fill that hole. So it's a really huge opportunity for us.
It's tremendous. And then the Cayman opponents have not been announced yet, but we know.
But the choices are pretty good, right?
Yes, we saw the teams. Notre Dame, TCU, Mississippi State, Utah, Washington, two of those five opponents the Friday and Saturday after Thanksgiving. The weekend before is when the men's basketball team will be doing its multi-team event up in Myrtle Beach, so a chance to watch both bowls in exotic locations, as it were. And you just, speaking of exotic locations, the team just got back from Spain. I know the results aren't so as important as the experience. So have you heard from Amir about how that went for them?
Yeah, I was able to keep in reasonably good touch with both Amir and with Lee Butler as they were over there, and it seems like it was a great opportunity to practice multiple times, to play three great opponents, just have some good time to bond and play. So I think it was highly educational too. So I think it was a home run type of event, a great tour, and everyone seemed really, really pleased with it. I know the competition levels, my understanding is we did win all three games, but it kind of varied between probably a Patriot League team and an AAC team and something, kind of a Power Four oriented type of thing. So they're kind of pro level players at different levels that certainly tested us and challenged us. That was a really good test for our team.
Looking forward to seeing them soon. I did see a lot of the videos they put out, not the least of which was the guys trying to make paella.
Yeah, very. That was cool to be able to have a chance to kind of learn how that goes.
And well, I mean, the important question is, are you a paella fan?
Because I do like paella.
Yeah. Got to have it.
Love it. We had
Colombia does a good paella.
Yeah, Colombia, big super paella when they make those big pools of it. You know what I mean? When they're at events after 5Ks and stuff. Mr. Gonsmart pulls that out every now and then.
It's a smart way to celebrate if you can do that. Speaking of big events, that test your endurance, the Olympics are over. Yeah. I know we had some bulls in there. It was great to see the guys and gals from track. Betty Manunga in Belgium almost get that bronze medal. What was your overall take on the whole thing? I don't watch much NBA. I love college basketball. NBA, I honestly could take or leave, but I was all in on that gold medal game for both the guys and the ladies. It was tremendous, and not just that, just the whole thing. I was enraptured the whole time through.
Yeah, I thought for this Summer Olympics, I thought it was just, the congratulations to the folks in Paris. It just seemed like it went extremely well. There seems to be a great spirit of the whole competition and worldwide, kind of got back to the ideals of what – even with a kind of divided world of things that are happening right now, it just seemed like more than I can remember in recent past that the Olympics really kind of caught the true competition and a lot of really cool stories there. But to see our people associated with USF Athletics have success and be able to perform at truly the world's greatest stage is a huge badge of honor for them and a pride point for us. So congratulations to all of them. That's just amazing. Can you imagine just being... I mean, one of the best in the world to get to try to be the best in the whole world at what you do. That's pretty cool.
Although, having said that, fourth place has got to be the worst feeling. Sorry. It's funny to share, like, opinions with friends you watch when I was up in New York with the extended family. We're watching all the different events, gymnastics, the medium races on the track, like the 1,500 meters, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it just, it's just phenomenal to watch and remind you of what we have here as far as athletes that maybe not everybody knows about, not everybody talks about, but in some of the quote-unquote Olympic sports that are just, their work is unbelievable and probably not sung enough, but it should be.
Yeah, it should be. And when you realize how much goes on behind the scenes in terms of coaching and athletic trainers and so many that have helped to help our athletes and all those athletes that participate to get to a certain level, it's pretty remarkable. But I know you said you don't watch much NBA, but my goodness, even though he's got nothing to do with the Bulls, what a closing performance by Stephen Curry.
I love that guy. That was amazing.
I mean,
that was amazing.
I've never really seen anything quite like that.
He can do whatever he wants, obviously, but before that last shot, I was like, what are you doing? Don't shoot that.
It was funny to kind of watch the French defenseman. I was like, what else can he do at this point? You know,
even the French players on the bench are like, okay. C'est la vie, I think is what they would say. Yeah.
Can't stop that.
All right, what else do we want to hit on? Harp on the soccer game.
Yeah, let's just close. I'll just close to say, hey, let's make a lot of great things happen. Let's close out with soccer. London's about sold out, and then get our tickets for Bethune-Cookman.
Okay, got it. All right. All right, we start to wrap it up here. We want to get people to that soccer match. But before that, a couple of things that are involved with the football program, more to the point that we want people to know about.
Yeah, Derek, basically, it's great to catch up with you here. So many great things happening for USF Athletics this summer. But, hey, folks, it's what a huge week. We've got that home opener with Florida State for women's soccer. Let's get out to that. You've got the Bulls block party this weekend for the Alumni Association. That's going to be a lot of fun. Next week, we've got the football luncheon just about sold out. So please go get those final tickets for that. We added some more tables, so we're going to have the record crowd for sure at that. And then obviously it's not too late to get your season tickets for football. We've got we want to keep moving that up. You remember, the only way to guarantee your spot in the future stadium is to have some in this one. And we're pleased with the support we've gotten, but let's go ahead and get those season tickets, or certainly at least get those tickets for the Bethune-Cookman game, which is less than 3 weeks away.
All right, so we'll see you, on Thursday night. Hopefully a lot of Bulls Nation will be out there as well, and then we've got the men's soccer season starting the following week.
Bulls speed ahead. Go Bulls.